Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Psalm 90 is an explosion of praise to the God who always was and always will be. Moses wrote, "From everlasting to everlasting, you are God." He created everything, the universe, the earth, and each one of us. Today, some mind-expanding truth about God. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the mysteries of God. Now, join us as we learn more about the eternality of God.
Second fact I want you to notice is that God created all that is. He created all that is before the mountains were brought forth and you ever formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, speaking about Jesus, "For by him were all things created, both which are on earth and which are in heaven, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or principalities or powers, all things created by him and for him." It's a crucial phrase, by him and for him. And to think that God did that out of nothing. Now, I told you that out of nothing, nothing can arise, but since God existed, he could take nothing and create something. In fact, when he spoke, he created so many billions of stars. They say that there are as many of those as sands on the seashores of the world. And he did it, the Latin is ex nihilo, that is to say, out of nothing. He just spoke, and suddenly they were all there in all their brilliance and beauty, and the sun and the moon. I mean, imagine God doing that. There is a story about a scientist who said to God, "God, I can do the same things that you do. I can take a handful of dirt and I can create life." God said, "Really? Show me." So the guy reaches down and he takes a handful of dirt, and God says, get your own dirt. If you want to prove that you're as good as God, go into a laboratory and spend an afternoon taking nothing and creating something and see how it goes. You might need the next day. I'm smiling because there's no way for us to know. Now, that would take another 20 minutes of your hour. And then there's a third fact about God. Remember these points now. First of all, he is uncaused. He is eternal. He's always existed. Secondly, he created all things. And third, notice that he exists outside of time. Now, he comes into time, but he exists outside of time. How do we know that God exists outside of time? It is because time is the record of change. Time is the record of change. So what that means is that as long as God existed before creation, "I am the Lord and I change not," there was no change, and therefore there was just an eternal now. You say, "Well, what was God doing before he created the worlds?" I think it was the great theologian Calvin said he's preparing a hell for people who ask those kinds of questions. We have no idea what he was doing. We do know that he was in existence and making choices, but those choices were eternal, as we're going to notice. We're going to study the fact that he never learns anything because he knows it all. A joke comes to mind, but I'm going to just let that go. I was going to say he's like a teenage son. But the fact is that God is the one then who exists outside of time. Now let's think about this for a moment. You are able to remember the past. How are you doing remembering the future? Is that okay? Can you remember the future? Oh, you say, "Well, I can't remember the future because it hasn't happened." To God, the future has already happened. It's already a done deal. And we're going to have to study in this study at some point why it is that we pray when he already knows all things. But the point is to be made, namely, let's look at it this way. Okay, you have a map, and you're following this map, and you're taking this trail, and you go from one town to another, and you're creating memories, right? And these memories are being created by you, and you will remember them. Well, think of God having the map spread in front of him in its entirety so that he sees all things simultaneously. What happened 4,000 years ago is just as present to him as what happened this morning, because all things are seen and known simultaneously. You say, well, where is that in the text? Well, I actually skipped the reading here, but that's implied here. Verse 4, for 1,000 years are in your sight as but yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Peter says that with you, one day is like a thousand years, and 1,000 years like one day. Why? Time is irrelevant to God. He sees it in one present. Now, he does step out of eternity into time, as we'll eventually learn, but the fact is that he sees it all simultaneously. For him, time does not exist because change does not exist. There's another story about a man who said to the Lord, Lord, how long is 1,000,000 years to you? And God said, about a minute. He said, God, how much is $1,000,000 to you? God said, about a penny. He said, Lord, could I just have a penny? And the Lord said, sure, just a minute. You'll notice that 1,000 years are like a day, and a day like 1,000 years. For God, time does not exist. Now, you can use the next 20 minutes of your hour contemplating that. Now, I tried this last night, and I discovered it's very difficult to concentrate on these things, because pretty soon you think the same thoughts again and again. So take these verses, read other psalms, because what I want you to do is to lie on the floor, if you still can, on your own power. Put a pillow under your stomach, face down, and I want you to spend an hour contemplating God, his greatness, his power, and who he is through the Word. And what you'll discover after that period of time is you'll say, wow, if that's who he is, here I am for whatever he wants. Now, last night, I was working on this. I also went outside because I wanted to see the stars. I am impressed with the immensity of God. As a boy running out in the fields, oftentimes at night, just seeing the stars there in Canada. And they seemed so close, as if you could just take one of them home with you. But last night, it was too cloudy to see the stars. But I have a good idea that they were actually there. Become impressed with who God is. Now you say, well, you said that this psalm was sort of a plaintive psalm and is supposed to discuss the meaning of life. And the answer is yes. Moses, in fact, seems to be in a rather discouraging mood. And so what he does in the next couple of verses is he contrasts us with God. And you should not be surprised at the fact that we come off rather badly, actually, in contrast to God. For example, he says in verse 3, you return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. There are several things that he says about us. First of all, he says that life is fleeting. We return to dust. He says in verse 5, our life is but a dream. You sweep them away as with a flood, and they are like a dream, like the grass is renewed in the morning it flourishes, and by night it fades. And what you find is that later on he says, life is like a sigh. Oh, that's what it is. It's a vapor. And then he says, we fly away. I suppose that's the basis of the song, I'll Fly Away, Oh Glory. I won't sing it for you. But it's all just here and there. It's gone. I mean, doesn't it say here somewhere that we have a number of different days, and if by reason of strength we actually have 80? I'm not seeing it right here, but I read it last night. I know that it's here in the text, where it speaks about the fact that, oh yes, verse 10, the years of our life are 70. Thank God that not everybody dies at 70. Or even by reason of strength, 80. And then sometimes you have people like my father who died at 106 and my mother at 103, so they kind of, we were kind of thinking they were going to blow this idea that everybody dies, but they did. My sister-in-law died in Canada last week. She was 75. So maybe we'll live to 80, but then it's gone. So he talks about the fact that our life is fleeting. Our life is sinful. This is verse 8. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Oh, you say, I've got all these secrets. And who of us has not sinned secretly? We all have. And to God, we're sinning in broad daylight. Our secret sins are set in the light of his countenance, in the light of his knowledge. And some people think that they're kind of hiding from God. Are you kidding me? Our life is sinful, and we need an answer to that sin, and thank God, God supplies it. So that's why it's so important to hear this message from beginning to end. You know, in the psalm that I just referenced, God actually makes a distinction between the eternality of God and the fleeting life that we as human beings experience. And the emphasis is, of course, to make sure that our lives are constantly bringing glory to God, because in the end, that's all that will matter. That's why the text says, I think it's in verse 12, where the writer Moses says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And that's what we want to do here at Running to Win. We want to use all the time that God gives us, the time that is available to us to preach the gospel, and you become a part of that. Here's one way you can do it. You can go to offerrtw.com, offerrtw.com, and click on the Endurance Partner button. And when you do that, you'll find out how you can become a regular part of the Running to Win family. Or go to 1-800-215-5001.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Eternality of God, the first in an 8-part series on the mysteries of God. Next time, more on why we need to number our days. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. The mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.